So I wanted to ask you also, during the war, mm-hmm. you were going to Fisk University in Nashville, mm-hmm. and that was quite a time. And I wonder if you experienced discrimination or racism, and if so, what that looked like, and maybe how it might have been different from any kind of discrimination you might have experienced in the North.
Well, you know, I wasn't aware that much of that much discrimination in the North, because, you know, we could, I could go to the arcade theater that was on State Street for 15 cents, you know. But one of the things about being at Fisk was that it was a private school founded by the American Missionary Association people. It had a integrated faculty. And those people, by the way, had to live as if they were black, because they were scorned by other people in the white community. But anyway, but it was respected. And as a Fisk woman, if you went downtown, you put on shoes, stockings, hat, gloves, and went. You were a lady, and people kind of left us alone because we were sort of different, special. And you know, it was interesting. I have a girlfriend, as we're still in touch. We went downtown one day in our hats and gloves and whatnot, and we wanted to go in, I think, in Woolworths, and there were it was interesting. There were two fountains. Water fountains. One said white only, and the other said colored, and it was off to the side somewhere. And my girlfriend carefully peeled off her gloves and took a drink from the white fountain. And when someone looked at her, she says, "I don't like colored water." And then we left, of course, because the other thing was, you were supposed to ride in the back of the bus if you got on one of the buses of Rika. There were white students from Vanderbilt University and whatnot who didn't believe in the segregation either. And they would get on with cans of white black paint and paint off the sign, paint over the sign instead for color. And then we'd get off before the tolling car driver understood what was going on. Oh, you know, it's there were always little signs that people, decent human beings, didn't really like what was going on, and things were going to change. They, among other things, they changed because of the veterans, because of the guys in the service. You know, how can you have people go overseas and die for your country and come back and not be respected? And young folk were asking that question, you know? So it was an interesting time. And I learned, but something I'd always known, that there were always good people, and that segregation and bias was stuff that was learned. It wasn't anything that was anybody was born with. And I that stood me in good stead when I began teaching, I was at an all-black college in Kentucky. But when I came up here and taught, you know, there'd be parents' night. I remember when I was teaching at Technical High School, when they'd have parents' night, you know, when the teachers always dressed up, you know, and I remember this night I had on a pretty gray suit and navy blue accessories and so forth, and I was standing in my door with my record book in my hand, and this couple came up to me, and they looked kind of past me, and, "Could you tell us where we could find Mrs. Pryor?" And I said quietly, "I'm Mrs. Pryor." And they looked at me in annoyance, and said, "We would like to speak to Mrs. Pryor." And I raised my voice a couple, "I'm Mrs. Pryor." And they said, "Oh, but he didn't tell me." I said, "Look, let me tell you something. When students get in my classroom, the only color they're concerned about is my red pen. They want to avoid it at all costs." And then I said, "Now, your son or whoever it was," I said, "you know," I took out the record book and told them what they were doing. But it was interesting, because for a long time, you have to teach not only what you know, but who you are. And I love teaching, and I love my students. And, you know, hey, it was such a blessing.